know if I've mentioned this before, but about a year ago, I decided to learn to play guitar. And I'm sure you guys are, you're flabbergasted. What, Pastor, why didn't you ever say anything? You've never told us this before. Why wouldn't you share something like that with us before now? You know, there are some things in my life I just like to keep private. But over the past year, I've been trying to learn to play and learn songs. And as Christmas time came near, I picked up a bunch of Christmas songs, you know, the favorites, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Silent Night, you know, those sorts of things. And when we went to Iowa for Christmas, I took my guitar with. And I'll tell you, I love being able to just go in my basement and pluck away on the guitar, and it's a great time, and I love doing it, but you know what's even more fun? Playing it with other people. And as I played with my family and people began to join in and sing those Christmas songs, it was a joy. But quickly my list of Christmas songs ran out. And so I started playing some of the hymns and worship songs that I knew. But there are a good number of people in my family that, I mean, they're not church people, and so they didn't know those songs. I had a couple other songs, you know, country songs that I had. They weren't as well polished, but I kind of broke out some of those as well to play. But when I came home, I decided, you know what? I want to do that more. I want to be able to have those songs that everybody knows that we can all enjoy together. And so I started looking up songs that I could play that people would know. And growing up my teenage years, I grew up listening to country music, the 90s and early 2000s, that kind of era with Garth Brooks and George Strait and Alan Jackson, you know, all of those guys. That's the kind of music I started looking for. And so I started finding songs that I could play, and I found, absolutely love those songs. Some of them can be difficult to play, and I'm not talking like technically difficult. For example, I love Randy Travis, always have. I had his greatest hits album that I would just put in the car, and it was just on repeat over and over again, all those old Randy Travis songs. And one of them in particular that I really loved, and it makes the top list every single time, is called On the Other Hand. And if you know this song, you might be able to understand why it's hard for me to maybe play, especially with my wife present. But if you don't know the song, this man is, he's with a woman, and he's talking about all the things that he wants to do and how he loves her and wants to be with her, and he can count on one hand all the reasons that he should stay and just be with this woman. By the time he gets to the chorus, he goes and says, on the other hand, there's a wedding ring that tells him all the reasons that he shouldn't. All the reasons that he can't, it's a reminder of the commitment that he's made. It's a reminder of what's really important. And many times that's what we need. We need that reminder, just that little thing that sparks our memory to point us to what's important, to direct us back to the commitment that we have made. Now, a few weeks ago, I encouraged you guys to make a commitment. In fact, I challenged you in what we call the 30-day prayer challenge. And we provided bookmarks out there or text messages. And if you haven't started that, it's never too late. You could start it right now. But we've been talking about when we seek God, we will find the peace and the rest that we so desire. That was exactly what Jesus promised, and that's what we find. And we'll have distractions along the way, things that get us off course, but as we seek after him, then we will find the peace that he has promised. But it's not the default. It's something that doesn't just happen by accident. We have to be intentional about seeking after God. And if we aren't intentional, then it tends to not happen. And last week, as we were talking about this, we began looking in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6 in particular, where Paul writes to the church saying, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. And last week we went on to verses 8 and 9 about how we can not get distracted and how we can focus our minds and stay seeking God down that straight and narrow path. But this week I want to come back to what Paul's talking about in these first two verses. Because Paul is talking about this peace that we can find when we focus on God. And then verse 7 talks about those results. Now, we all understand cause and effect, right? First this, then that. First, I work, and then I get a paycheck. First, I eat dinner, and then I get dessert. We had a thing when Andrew was little. We were trying to teach this concept to him. First this, then that. And so we took him to Dairy Queen, and our kids are notorious for not wanting to eat. But they really like ice cream. Suddenly their appetite reappears when ice cream shows up. And so we were trying to teach him first chicken, then ice cream. And we have a video of it, but as Renee's trying to coach him, first chicken, he interrupts her and says, first ice cream. He says, no, first chicken, first ice cream. We understand. We may not like it, but we understand the sequence of events. First this, and then that. And that's what Paul is saying here in Philippians 6 and 7. First, seek after God, and then you will find his peace. You will find his rest. Just like you work and get paid. You eat dinner and then dessert. You seek God, you find rest. First this, and then that. And it stands to reason in most situations, not all, but in most situations, if you do more of this, then you get more of that. If you do more work, well, then there's a good chance you're going to get more pay. And in like fashion, if you seek God more, then you will get more peace. You seek God a little, you'll get a little peace. You seek God a lot, you'll get a lot of peace. And this seems to be supported by what Paul tells the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If a little prayer and a little bit of seeking God is a good thing, then a lot of prayer and a lot of seeking God is an even better thing. Continued prayer, continued seeking God will lead to continued peace. It makes perfect sense. But this passage has led to some confusion. It's not hard to understand. I mean, it's pretty simple. Pray constantly. What's there to misunderstand? Or some translations, pray without ceasing. Pray continuously. It's a pretty easy concept to grasp, but it has caused some confusion about what it means to pray constantly. And so we've had, I couldn't tell you the number of sermon series or books that have been written about what does it mean to pray constantly. Because it seems like a really big task. And I mean, as we look at the church, we see those people that seem to be praying all the time. And I mean, I look up to them because if you're like me, I struggle in that area sometimes where I don't feel like I'm doing enough. And I see those people, those seasoned saints of the church, who they're waking up at 5 a.m. in order to spend the first 2 hours of their day in prayer. And I look at that and I just get exhausted thinking about it. Waking up that early and just praying. I mean, I'm a pastor and so I'm pretty long-winded. But the idea of praying for 2 hours straight seems like a daunting task. I mean, I could maybe go 10 minutes of constant prayer without repeating myself, but after that, it's going to be a whole lot of like ums and ahs and like saying the same thing over, maybe inserting God's name, you know, Lord, help me, Lord, Lord, please, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to start rambling because, I mean, it's hard to make small talk for 5 minutes, let alone a conversation where you're talking for 2 hours. Not even to mention that, I mean, that's 2 hours. Compared to the whole day, you're not even scratching the surface. I mean, to pray constantly, to pray without ceasing, I mean, what, are we supposed, does God expect us to just be on our knees every waking moment of the day? That's not even counting the time that you're sleeping. How in the world are we supposed, if we struggle with 2 hours, how are we supposed to achieve this call to pray constantly? And I think that this misunderstanding of what this command says has caused a lot of problems. Because we've all been taught to pray. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray, he gave them a prayer that many a Christian knows. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's how we've been taught to pray. And you know, when we teach our kids, we kind of change it a little bit, make it a little more simple. We just, you know, dear God, insert everything I want to pray for here, and then we end it with amen. And that's our understanding of prayer. I come to God and I say all of these things, but that misunderstanding right there, that can be very dangerous. A week or so ago, I had a pastor friend who shared a devotional that he'd been reading that day. And the title of the devotional was, Lie, God Tolerates You. And it went on to explain that many times with this idea of prayer, there are things that we know we should be doing more of. I'll admit, I don't feel like I pray enough. And many times we feel like we don't attend church regularly enough, or we don't give enough to the church or the poor. We don't give enough time. We don't give enough energy. We don't focus enough on God. We don't read our Bible enough. And all of these things that we don't do enough of, we get this idea that we have this checklist of things that we need to do in order to please God. And that if we don't, well then, God's like this taskmaster in heaven that's just trying to get us to do these things, and he tolerates us at best. He doesn't really like us, but he'll put up with us as long as we check all those boxes. And if we don't check those boxes, well, then we've let him down, and he's angry with us. That's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because the reality is, God loves you. It is not true that God tolerates you. God doesn't just tolerate you. God loves you. And all of these things on this checklist, I'm not saying they're bad things. You should pray. You should spend time in God's word. You should spend time with the fellowship of believers and give your time and energy to help the poor. All those things are good things. But when we look at them as this checklist that we need to do in order to earn God's favor, that's a lie. Because then that leads us down the path of, well, if I'm not doing that enough, if I haven't completed enough of that checklist, if I can't live up to this call to pray constantly, why am I even trying? I'm not going to succeed. I might as well just give up. But the truth is, God doesn't want your prayers. God doesn't want your sacrifices. What God really wants is you. And all of those other things, God loves it when you pray. God loves it when you give to him. All of those things on that checklist that are good things, they're not good things because they're the things that you should do. They're the good things that we do because we love God. God doesn't want all the stuff that you can do. God wants you. And when you spend time praying, when you spend time with him, when you seek after him, it's not because you're praying, but it's because you are choosing to spend time with him, and he relishes. He relishes that time that you spend with him, that you choose him. Prayer is important, not because it's on the checklist of things to do, but because it connects us with God. And so then that begs the question, what is prayer? And that's kind of what we've been talking about as we seek God, as we have this command to pray constantly. What is prayer? And as we come back to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this command to pray constantly, we can learn a little more about what prayer is. If we look at that word that's translated pray in the Greek, I mean, it's a pretty simple translation. It means to pray. It's not hard. But while it means to pray, and it's a simple translation into English, the concept behind it, the concept of what Paul was talking about, it differs from our common understanding of prayer. Because when we think of prayer, we think of, dear God, insert prayer, amen. That's, if you ask most people, that's what they're going to say prayer is. But when Paul is talking about prayer, he's not talking about just saying these words. When he says pray constantly, the word that he's using that's translated to pray, it encompasses all forms of communion with God. This past week, Renee and I had the opportunity to take a trip. And we went out to Alexandria, Minnesota, and we spent a few days out there as husband and wife. And we had a lot of time to spend together. I mean, with a 5.5-hour car ride, I mean, we had plenty of time. But we did a lot of different things. We had the car ride, but we also had meals that we shared together. We spent some time playing games. We even spent time where I was reading my book and she was doing other things, and we were together, but we weren't talking. And you see, all of those things, being together, spending time together, doing things together, and talking, all of that is encompassed in this idea of communion, being with one another. So many times we get this idea that if I'm going to pray, if I'm going to commune with God, then I just need to talk nonstop. I just need to say all the things, and that's how I pray. But talking to God, while that is communion with God, so is listening. While praising God and giving thanks to God for all the things that he's done and telling him, thank you for my family, thank you for my children, thank you for my job, while thanking him for all of the things he's done, that is communion with him. So is just being thankful and appreciating all that God has done, while telling God how great he is communion with him. So is just acknowledging it and recognizing God's glory in our everyday life. And this is the confusion that we have about prayer. Because when we think of praying for 2 hours in the morning, and our idea of prayer is just talking to God for 2 hours, that is a daunting task, and we don't want to do it. But when we change our perspective on prayer, spending 2 hours just soaking in God's presence, soaking in God's glory, just spending time with God, that actually sounds pretty good. This traditional view of prayer, I'm not saying it's wrong. Praying to God in that traditional way, that is important and that is necessary. But when we rely solely upon that, we can go down roads that we just want to give up because it's too big of a task for us to do. We don't like talking that much. Traditional prayer is still necessary, though. Because Renee and I spent a lot of time together. And we enjoyed our time together. We have a better relationship for it. And we didn't spend the whole time talking. But we did have some important conversations. And if, given our relationship as it is now, if I were to just stop talking to her, not say a word to her, only talk to her when it was absolutely necessary or when I had a request to be made, we wouldn't have a good relationship for very long. All of it is important. Spending time in communion, spending time just being together is important, but also spending time in those conversations are important. In his book, The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard puts it this way. He says, I believe the most adequate description of prayer is simply talking to God about what we are doing together. Requests will naturally be made in the course of this conversational walk. Prayer is a matter of explicitly sharing with God my concerns about what he too is concerned about in my life. And of course, he's concerned about my concerns, and in particular that my concerns should coincide with his. This is our walk together. Out of it, I pray. Many times as Renee and I talk, we get frustrated that it doesn't matter what we start talking about. Our conversations will inevitably come back around to either the church or the kids. And we want to talk about more, but the reality is, right now, at this period in life, the church and the kids, those are major parts of our lives. And so, that's what we talk about. And the same is true with God. God cares about what's on your heart. What's going on in your daily life? It's not about bringing the right words to say to him. It's about bringing your heart to him. And from the overflow of your heart, spending time with God and sometimes using words to do it. God cares about what's going on in your life. So many times we still struggle. We have a hard time coming to God in prayer. And we could go through all the reasons. We could say, you know, it's my kids. When my kids are around, it's hard to spend that time. My job, I'm too busy. I have this going on. I have these distractions. We could count on one hand all the reasons that we can't pray, but on the other hand, there's that reminder. That wedding ring to remind us of the commitments that we've made, to remind us of what's really important in our lives. And sometimes that's exactly what we need, is that intentional reminder. I don't typically bring my keys with me up on the platform when I preach. I don't like them jingling around in my pocket, but I did so today because of this right here. It's a key, and you may notice it's a blank key. It's not really useful for a whole lot. But this key was given to me back in 2017 at our district assembly. Reverend Steve Hoffman, our district superintendent, he gave out these keys, and stamped on it is the word engage. And he encouraged us to put it on our key ring, to put it next to the key that we use the most. And when we use that key, and we notice the key that's right next to it, may that serve as a reminder to pray. And so I have it right there next to my church key. It's seen better days. It's a little worn. But when I come into the church and I unlock the church doors, right next to it is that blank key, that reminder to pray. And so I do just that. It's not a long prayer, but it's that reminder to spend time with God. It's that reminder to do what I've committed to do what is important to me. Over the years, I've I'll just be honest with you. I've struggled with the spiritual discipline of fasting. I haven't really understood it. I'm just laying out all my cards here. I don't get it, per se. I understand the concept. It's been taught to me since I was little. Fasting is giving something up in order to focus on praying to God. And I get that. And I admit, prayer is important. But I don't understand the giving up. Because it's not like if I give this up, then I'm twisting God's arm. And now, because I gave something up, God has to listen to me. That's not the case. I can say the exact same prayer without giving something up, and God's going to listen to it, and it's going to be just as important because God loves me, not the prayer. And so I've struggled with what exactly is the point of fasting. Again, I'm just laying it all bare here. I'm being real with you guys. That wasn't until last year. I was challenged to a 21-day fast. And I didn't know what to expect, but I thought, you know what? I guess I'll go ahead and do it. And this is not a full theology on fasting, but I'll tell you what I've learned so far. As I fasted for those 21 days, I gave up pop, carbonated beverages. And throughout that time, there were many times I wanted one. I wanted to open a bottle of pop. I wanted to drink it. I wanted to go to the restaurant and just fill up my cup, whatever it was. There were many times, even throughout a single day, when I wanted, when I craved that which I was giving up. And it was a reminder. It was a reminder of why I was giving it up. It was a reminder of the commitment that I had made. It was a reminder of what was important to me. And I'll tell you, after that 21 days, after all those reminders and intentionally praying, when I was reminded of what I was giving up, I'll tell you that I found answers and I found peace in the prayers that I offered. And was it because I twisted God's arm? I don't know. But I'll tell you, I was a lot more intentional about my prayer when I had that reminder. I know that a lot of people struggle in this area of prayer. It's usually up at the top of the list of things that people want to improve about their spiritual life. We struggle with it, and part of it's because of our misunderstanding about what exactly it is. But at the heart of it, praying continuously is inviting God into your life. Not just with your words, not just giving God a speech, but allowing him to speak into your life and just recognizing his presence constantly throughout the day. And these intentional reminders can aid in that. And so I want to give you the tools that you need to improve this area. As we said at the beginning, and as I've said multiple times, we have our 30-day prayer challenge. And if you have not started, it is not too late. We have the bookmarks back there. If you want to take those, you can text the number next New Year, and you'll get those delivered to your phone. It's a really good reminder when it just comes to you every day. But you have to sign up for it and be intentional about that. I would also encourage you, maybe you haven't understood this whole idea of fasting. I would encourage you to give it a shot. It doesn't have to be like, I'm just going to go without food for 40 days. Don't start there. It doesn't even have to be, I'm giving up this meal. It doesn't have to be food at all. It could be, I'm going to abstain from watching TV on weekdays. It doesn't, you know what's going to get your attention. You know what's going to be your reminder. Use that. Whatever it is that's going to remind you that whenever you have those cravings, whenever your mind comes back around to what you are giving up, focus on God. And if if you're more of the trinket type of person, I got those too. Back on the Welcome Center, I have key rings. Nothing fancy. I got them from Ace Hardware. Put it on your key ring, next to the key that you use the most. And when you pull out that key, maybe it's your house key, and you pull out that key and you see this dangling next to it, say a prayer for your family. Tell God what's important. Thank Him. Ask for His blessing upon your family. Put it next to your car key. And when you get in your car in the morning to go to work or to do whatever it is, and you see that reminder, spend that time in communion with God. I also have these cards out there. It's just a simple little card, business card size. It'll fit in your wallet. Maybe stick it in your mirror in your bathroom, and when you're getting ready in the morning, may it be a reminder to ask for God's blessing upon your day, to focus your mind on what's truly important throughout your day. Stick it in your wallet behind your debit card or your credit card, and every time you pull it out to get gas at the gas station or to buy groceries, and you see that card, that intentional reminder, take time. Thank God that there's money in the bank account. Pray to God that He puts more money in the bank account, whatever it may be. But use that as an intentional reminder to seek after Him and to pray constantly. Because we all want the peace and the rest that comes from God. And as we've spent the last few weeks talking about that peace that surpasses all understanding, that comes from seeking after Him. Many times we forget. So let's be intentional. Because we make time for what's important. And if it's important, then we're going to do things to keep bringing it to the front of our minds. So let's seek Him, that we may find His rest, and that we may fulfill this command to pray without ceasing, not because it's on a checklist of things that we should do, but because that's our heart's desire, that we want to have that communion and that time with God, to be reminded of who He is and what He's done, that we may be conformed to Him. So that's my challenge to you. Whether it's through the prayer challenge, whether it's through the trinkets or whatever it may be, that you would continue to seek after God, to pray without ceasing, that we may find that unending reserve of peace that comes from God. Lord Jesus, may our heart's cry be to You. That whatever's going on in our lives, that we would focus on what's truly important. And that God, as we seek You, as we know our tendency to forget, that we set these intentional reminders to focus back on You, to spend time with You, talking to You, laying our hearts bare before You, using those words, but also just existing in Your presence. As we go about our day, God, may Your presence overwhelm us. That speaking to You wouldn't be a chore. God, it would be a joy. Because in seeking You, we find peace. So God, may we pray without ceasing, using words as needed, to come to You, and to lay our souls bare before You, knowing that You are good, and that we can trust in You, and that You love us exactly as we are, and relish the time that we seek after You. So go with us this week. And God, may You be front and center in all that we think, say, and do. In the name of Jesus, we pray.